The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment of Pastor Andy's Traditional Christian Message, originally broadcast on Sunday, June the 2nd, 2024, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a message entitled Israel's Fingerprints, which is chapter 39 of the American Institute of Theology Bible Study course that is available from Kingdom Identity Ministries. Israel's Fingerprints. When the police have the fingerprints of a wanted man, they know the man whose prints match those they have in the one they is the one they seek. Likewise, when we find the people to whom all of God's promises to Israel have been fulfilled, we have found Israel. Today, the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, and Scandinavian nations have Israel's fingerprints in every detail. God first made his great promises to Abraham and repeated them to Abraham's son Isaac and grandson Jacob, whose name God changed to Israel, a prince ruling with God. Israel had 12 sons. The descendants of each son became a tribe, so that all the descendants of Dan became the tribe of Dan, the descendants of Judah, the tribe of Judah, and so on. After their long captivity in Egypt, they became one nation of 12 tribes, like the one United States of 50 states, which continued until Solomon's death. Then the 10 northern tribes revolted and set up their own kingdom, keeping the name Israel, while the old southern two-tribed nation was called Judah. Thereafter, their histories are recorded separately in the book of books of Kings and of Chronicles, which, like the prophets, carefully distinguishes between them. About 721 BC, circa, Israel was captured by Assyria and deported to the lands around the south end of the Caspian Sea, and they never returned to Palestine. The authorized version of the Bible doesn't record their further history, but the prophets continued for several centuries to give further prophecies of Israel's great future. In the Apocrypha, 2 Esdras 13, 39-46, records their migration as far as the river Sereth, a northern territory of the Danube in Romania, and other historians of the time record their migration into northern and western Europe and the British Isles. Over a century later, the remnant of Judah, mainly of the city of Jerusalem, that had escaped Assyrian conquest, were captured and deported to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years, as Jeremiah had prophesied. Afterward, some of them came back to Palestine, where their descendants, a remnant of Judah, Benjamin and Levi, who were later known erroneously as Jews, lived until the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, after which they ceased to be a nation and became wanderers in all lands. Neither Bible nor secular history records any destruction of Israel. To the contrary, it was well known in Christ's time that they existed in great numbers elsewhere, and Jesus Christ spoke of their continued existence separate from the Jews in Matthew 10, 5-6 and 23. the complete destruction of the Jewish nation by the Romans and their subsequent troubles as outcasts in every nation are not a failure of the prophecies and promises to Israel, but very accurate fulfillment of the prophecies about his nation of Judah and the Jews. With this history in mind, let us examine the prophecies and promises to Israel. God's promises to Abraham were unconditional. God must fulfill them or break his word, for he said, "I will make of thee a great nation. Thou shalt be a father of many nations, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." God did not say he would do this if, or perhaps, they were unconditional promises and had nothing to do with obeying the law. They were repeated unconditionally to Isaac in Genesis 26. They were repeated unconditionally to Israel, to whom God also said, "Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee." See Genesis 28:13 through 15 and 35:10 through 11. There can be no evasion of these promises, and God always honoured them, even when the children of Israel worshipped the golden calf. In many places, the New Testament recognises these promises as still in force. For example, in Romans, Paul says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises, who are the fathers." Whose are the fathers, rather? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. If these promises are false, then the Bible is false. But if they have been fulfilled, then the people to whom they were fulfilled are identified as Israel. In Hosea 1:10, God revealed that Israel would become the sons of God, that is, accept Christianity, saying, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered, and it shall come to pass that, in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, that is, Gentiles, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." Of this, Galatians 4:4-5 tells us, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." But if these cannot be Gentiles, for Romans 2:14 says that the Gentiles were never under the law, and Romans 9:4 tells us that the adoption pertains to the Israelites, therefore we must look for Israelites among the Christians. Prophecies and promises to Israel have been fulfilled to the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian and Germanic nations. First, they are Christian and have been from early times. Second, they are a great nation and a company of nations. The United States is the largest civilized nation in the world. The British Commonwealth of Nations is legally a company of nations, all of one race. The Scandinavian nations, also of the same blood, can be identified by their history and their heritage and their heraldry as the tribes of Dan, Benjamin, and Issachar. Third, they are very numerous. In the last two centuries, the United States increased from a mere handful to over 213 million people. In the last three centuries, the British Empire increased from 5 million people to over 90 million Anglo-Saxons. Fourth, they expanded in colonies in all directions, as God prophesied in Genesis 28:14, Deuteronomy 32:8, Isaiah 54:2-3, etc. Their lands are on every continent and in every sea. No other nation had such colonies. Fifth, they possessed the desolate heritages of the earth, as God prophesied in Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Who else has so successfully developed the waste places which were desolate when they first occupied them? Compare our own southwestern states with what any other nation has done with similar deserts. Compare the British colonies with those of nations of other races. Sixth, they are a sea-going people. God said of Israel, his seed shall be in many waters. Numbers 24:7, and I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. Psalms 89:25. The two greatest navies belong to the United States and Great Britain. The three greatest merchant marines to these two and Norway. Seventh, they possess the gates of their enemies. Clearly, Genesis 22:17 refers to the gateways of hostile nations, the great waterways of the world. The two great Anglo-Saxon nations alone have power to close every important gate in the world and have done it in two world wars. Eighth, they maintain the continuity of the throne of David. It has been proved that all the kings of England, Ireland, and Scotland are descendants of David, fulfilling the prophecy, David shall never want a man seed to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Jeremiah 33:17. The foregoing are only a few of the many prophecies about Israel, at least 100 of them, which have been fulfilled by the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Teutonic people, and by no others. When you consider that there are over 100 recognized nations, the mathematical odds against all of these prophecies being fulfilled by just one small group of nations, all of the same blood, is billions to one. Do you think this happened by mere accident? If we are not Israel, then what has happened to all of God's prophecies? The Bible unmistakably identifies the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, and Germanic people as Israel, for they alone have Israel's fingerprints. You have been listening to the traditional Christian message entitled Israel's Fingerprints. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'll be back with you all later today. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day and bye for now.